can't.
Just how young.
I'm not going to sit down. I'm going to stand up and respect my people.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
Are you going to hand out free money?
Not yet.
Not yet.
That's how we got here.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know if I want to be a part of your country then.
Then you're going to be miserable without me because you're going to realize pretty quick those guys are having fun in that back room.
Working and living their own life.
Right.
Hey, Ty Young joins us on the phone this morning. Glad we were able to get in touch with you, Ty. How's it going?
It's going great. Thanks for having me.
Oh, no, hey, man, we appreciate you taking a few minutes. Ty, of course, as we said earlier, CEO of his own leading financial advisory firm. And let's talk a little bit about this debt ceiling. We've been kidding about the fact that Apple's got more cash on hand now than our U.S. government. But as far as the debt ceiling goes, how does that affect your average, honest, hardworking DJ like ourselves?
Well, the debt ceiling itself, I think we'll probably end up getting a deal. The bigger looming issue is the credit rating. These credit companies are saying that because we're spending money at the rate that we're spending money, that in the future we're not going to be able to pay back the debts. They're talking about lowering our credit rating. And if they do lower our credit rating, what that means is we're going to have to pay more as a country for our debt. And to me and you, that means that interest rates go up. We go to buy a house, it's going to cost us more. Buy a car, it's going to cost us more. And ultimately, the price of goods and services will go up because the cost of doing business goes up. So this is an issue that we've got to deal with, and we've got to deal with quickly.
So basically what you're saying is knuckleheads up there steer us down this path, and it's going to be us working guys who are hit hard for it.
There's no question about it, and it amazes me how complicated they make it when you watch it on TV. But here's how simple it really is. If we would freeze spending right now and just not spend any more than we spent last year, this year, and spend the same amount next year and the year in the future, that would save us $10 trillion over the next 10 years. You see, the government, they have 7 or 8% inflation, increases in spending built in to our budget every year. So if we were to do nothing except spend exactly what we're spending right now, we would cut out $10 trillion over the next 10 years. The rating agencies would be happy. They wouldn't lower our debt. But Washington has gotten so used to just increasing how much they're spending every year that the credit agencies are worried, and rightfully so.
Okay, so what kind of a timeline are we looking at? Let's say we do, even if we do get a deal, you're saying that our credit rating is likely going to suffer as a result. What kind of a timeline are we looking at, and how long before we start to see interest rates go up and everything fall apart?
Well, I don't know that it'll fall apart. I think you'll see interest rates actually creep up. If we don't get a deal, I think that we get a spike in interest rates, but I think that we will ultimately get a deal. I mean, there's 15 different deals out there right now. Certainly, you know, we can compromise and come to an agreement on one of them, but if we don't get it, I think we see interest rates spike a little bit, and then if the credit rating gets downgraded, I think you see interest rates creep up substantially over the next 6, 12, and 18 months.
Hey, but Ty, here's where I get confused, and I might be simple on the whole thing. The credit rating companies, are they U.S. companies?
Yeah, but for the most part, they are. They're companies that rate debt. Now, essentially, these credit rating companies are not perfect. To give you an example, they missed the European debt crisis. They missed the Greek debt crisis. They missed AIG. They missed Bear Stearns. They missed Lehman Brothers. So they are not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but they are the credit services that we use. Just like you and I, when we go to borrow money, there's the three credit rating companies, and you get a credit score. Well, if our credit score goes down, whether they're valid or not, if that credit score goes down, it costs us more to borrow money, if we can borrow money at all. And it's the same way with these credit agencies. Whether they're right or wrong, whether they're credible or not, whether they have a good track record or not, if they downgrade our debt, it hurts us financially.
You know, I got an email from some company the other day, so they could guarantee me a 750-plus score. All I got to do is send them 1995. Is there any program like that for the government that we could use?
You know what?
Clean up our credit rating?
Actually, it's not that difficult. All we really need to do is have a Reagan-style recovery. We need to strengthen the dollar, and we need to stop spending money. Literally, this is not a difficult equation to fix. It just takes tremendous discipline. The solution's easy. Stop spending as much money as what we're spending. And the fiscal conservatives in the House, they passed cut, cap, and balance. Really, that's what we need as a country. You know, and I'm a numbers guy. If you just look at the numbers, that's what we need to do to have a good credit rating so we can borrow money and continue to be the strongest financial entity in the world.
Okay, but if two-thirds or whatever it is of your money that you spend is on entitlements, and if a lot of those entitlements traditionally are believed to vote one way, am I going to wipe out my own electorate by doing the people that vote for me to get this done?
And there's the dilemma, isn't it? That is exactly the issue. And that's why, you know, the Ryan plan was not perfect, but I think that the smart part about that is that it doesn't affect people under the age of 55. I'm under 55. I realize right now that I'm not going to get Social Security, and not in the form that it is now, because mathematically it's going to implode. There's no question about that. So if, you know, most of the people that go out and vote are over the age of 55, if they're not going to be affected, I think you can carry the vote and change things that way.
Yeah, it seems to me like, and we were talking about this earlier, we've got too many people that are worried first about their career in Washington, and then second about their own little circle of constituents, and nobody's looking at the big picture of America as a whole anymore.
You know, that is very true. It seems to me it's politics as usual in a lot of ways in Washington. Now, the Tea Party folks seem to be holding the line, and I think they should. And really, this debt ceiling, it's actually fictitious. You saw them move the debt ceiling back in May to August. And really, even if we don't raise the debt ceiling, we have $200 billion a month coming in to the Treasury. $20 billion is our debt service. That leaves us $180 billion to run the government. And that doesn't count Social Security, because Social Security has $2.4 trillion in IOUs. So those can be cashed in without raising the debt. So Social Security is not in jeopardy. So this is a calamity that's an artificial calamity that's being created politically. If we would just tell the truth to the American people and do the right thing, this is not that complicated. So, yeah, we need to quit playing politics as usual, and we need to solve the problem. No question about it. And that's why I encourage everybody I talk to find the most fiscal conservative candidates you can find and support them.
Can we file Chapter 11?
but I think that it would be devastating. I mean, we are the currency that the whole world looks at, and the United States Treasury is the gold standard in the world. To do business in the world financially, you've got to buy United States Treasury. That's why this is so very important. Filing Chapter 11 would be devastating throughout the world.
Now, really, though, aren't the Chinese and there's some other big players, they're trying to change the world currency away from the U.S. dollar.
They are. There's no question.
Are they having any luck?
Well, here's the thing. The Chinese have made deals directly with Saudi Arabia to buy oil in their currency, the renminbi. They're trying to do the same thing in Venezuela. So, yeah, the Chinese would rather they didn't do business in dollars. And, you know, you can kind of see why they're aggravated, because what we're doing is we borrowed all this money from them, and then we're devaluing the dollars that we borrowed from them by printing more money, QE2, QE3, and I think we're going to have QE3. We continue to print dollars and devalue the currency that they loaned us. So I can kind of see how they feel. That's the wrong move, no question for us. But we're in a time right now where we must get our fiscal house in order, or things will change. And it is important. And I tell the people, and I have clients all over the country, I tell them, make sure your money is in a protected place right now, because the markets could be very, very volatile as a result of this. Make sure you're in a protected place where the market goes down, you're insured against losses, but you can still participate in the gains of the market but not participate in the losses. Very important to be in a position like that right now.
Good advice. Ty J. Young, President and CEO of Ty J. Young, Inc., a financial advisory firm. You got any scheduled appearances on Fox Business coming up that we can see yet?
I don't know. I don't know if I have any or not in the next week or so, but I'm on there from time to time.
Well, we'll keep an eye out for you and send folks to your website as well. Man, we certainly do appreciate it.
Hey, anytime. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thank you.
All right, bye.
Ty Young on the line with us this morning there, 824.